Good afternoon on this Thursday, May 14th, 2015, on AM 1030 KVOI The Voice. I'm Tom Collier, your guest host on the Buckmaster Show, sitting in for Bill, who's soaking up the sun in Luaulandia for an undetermined amount of time. I'm sure that he and his lovely wife Anne are having a great time in Hawaii. Bill will be back. In the meantime, this is an all-consumer show. I'm Bill's contributing editor for Consumer Affairs, and so we have devoted the whole show to consumer issues. We're going to be talking with some folks in various agencies of the state government, reviewing the resources that are available to consumers here in Arizona. And I also have a wonderful resource sitting right next to me in the studio, Vince Ravago, who is, Vince just knows everything there is to know about consumer affairs. He's a former Assistant Attorney General for Consumer Affairs. How are you doing this morning, Vince?
I'm doing great. Thanks for having me on to help you out today, Tom.
Well, we're going to try to get a lot of information out to folks. And also, this is a call-in show. Where if you have a consumer question about issues in Arizona, call us at 520-790-2040. But first, on the line, we have the first state agency that we want to talk to and find out who they are and what they do and what their resources are for consumers. And that's the Arizona Registrar of Contractors. And I've got Jeff Wills with the Registrar's Office. Jeff, how are you doing this morning?
Good. How are you?
I'm doing great. We're having a great time, and you're going to make it even greater. Jeff, first of all, give me the nickel tour of the Registrar's Office. Who are you? What do you do for us? How long have you been around?
Well, the Registrar of Contractors, our main office is located here in Phoenix. We have an office, obviously, down there in Tucson. And we've been around since 1931, and of course a lot has changed during that time, and we're ever evolving, and we're in the middle of that another evolution, I guess you would say, at this time. But what we try to do is protect homeowners from not only unlicensed work, but as well as poor work by licensed contractors.
How do you do that?
Well, what we can do, or what the homeowner can do, is if they suspect unlicensed contracting or poor work, they can certainly log on to our website at azroc.gov and go ahead and download that complaint form, fill it on out, and get it into our office with all of the required information that will pop up there on the website. And we will assign that to one of our investigators, depending on what part of the state the allegation is coming from. And we will investigate that complaint and do what we can.
And the Contractors Recovery Fund is something that is available for consumers to use. What's required to be able to get the Contractors Recovery Fund working on your behalf?
Well, a lot of homeowners have the misconception that they want to go right to the recovery fund, and rightfully so. I get that. We get that. If you've hired a contractor, a licensed contractor, and they abandon the job or have performed poor work, and that work is confirmed to be poor or abandon the job, the homeowner may be eligible for the recovery fund. But a lot of them want to jump right to it.
Oh, sure. Yeah, that's understandable.
Exactly. They've spent a substantial amount of money, and they want to try to recover that money as quickly as possible. However, what the homeowner does need to do is, again, file a complaint to get that complaint process started so we can assign that complaint to an investigator. May require a job site inspection.
So that's how the confirmation that the claim may or may not be valid is done, correct?
Exactly. Once that complaint's received, the investigator will take a look at all of the information that's been submitted. He'll make a determination on whether or not a job site inspection needs to occur, either for alleged poor work or abandonment. He or she will go out and take a look at those items on the complaint form as filled out by the homeowner, and we will either confirm those allegations. Or sometimes they may be what we currently call unsubstantiated. But if we're able to confirm those violations, then that's just one step in the path towards a recovery fund.
A while back, most of the claims were about an abandoned hole in the ground in the backyard that started out to be a swimming pool. Is that still the case in Arizona?
Yes. We still run into situations like that where a pool contractor was contractor to come out, and money was paid up front, and they dug a hole, and no other work was performed. In essence, they did abandon the job. And something like that, the investigator would need to go out and take a look at that and confirm what the homeowner or the complainant has put within their complaint. So the investigator will need to go out there and take a look at that, and we will go from there.
Now, the contractor's recovery fund isn't a bottomless pit. It's not an endless resource, is it? Is there a limit on how much you might be able to recover if, all things being equal, you are considered to have been ripped off, for lack of a better word?
Yeah, if it's determined by the recovery fund that you are eligible, the maximum payout available is $30,000 per homeowner, and it's $200,000 per license. Now, really what that means is if you have 10 homeowners that are filing against the same contractor and all claims are a max payout or requested max payout of $30,000 each, you're going to come up on that $200,000 maximum per that contractor's license fairly quickly.
Yeah. Several years ago, when they were trying to balance the budget, the members of the legislature went off with all these scoops and nets and scooped up the money out of organizations and 90-10 agencies like the registrar. Mm-hmm. Is there any actual money in the contractor's recovery fund
now? Absolutely. Absolutely.
Okay.
Yeah, we did have some claims in the past that were running behind, but no, we're good to go.
Okay. What are the consequences to me as a consumer if I choose to use an unlicensed contractor?
Well, the biggest issues as a consumer is, for one, just as we were speaking about, if it's an unlicensed entity contractor, you are not eligible for the recovery fund. So that's one big one right there. As a consumer, and I'll just go over a few things here real quickly, is you never want to pay in cash. You want to make sure that they're properly licensed. You can certainly get on our website again at azroc.gov.
So this is a case where prevention is better than cure, right?
Yes.
So
yes, absolutely.
Check them out before you're going to use them. Is that what you're saying?
That's a good rule of thumb. Always check them out before you hire them. Yes, sir.
Okay. Vince, we have Vince Robigo, who's a former Attorney General, Assistant Attorney General for Consumer Affairs, Jeff, who's riding shotgun on the show. This is an all Consumer Affairs show, by the way.
Sure.
So any questions Vince might have?
Great to have you with us, Jeff.
Thank you.
Great. One quick question I had for you, and I saw that I was, you know, looking at your website, and I saw that just recently that they had the police arrested an unlicensed contractor there in Lake Havasu City, and he's facing criminal charges for doing this sort of unlicensed work. And he has a big, you know, obviously it sounds like he had done over $100,000 worth of work.
Wow.
And that's a lot.
Right.
Are there certain ranges, you know, I mean, are the types or the sizes of claims where you have unlicensed activity, are they typically a lot smaller, or do you see a lot of this, you know, big dollar sort of work?
Well, it's really all over the place. We get complaints in for unlicensed activity that might range in a few hundred dollars, all the way up to something substantial like this. I would think most everything or nearly everything that comes through the office falls somewhere in between that, generally right around the few thousand dollar range. But no, this one is something that did turn out to be quite large.
Very, very good. How about, is there a level or an amount that under which someone can have an unlicensed person do work? I mean, are you talking about like a certain amount after which it becomes illegal?
Well, we do have what we call the handyman statute. And all of our statutes you can also view and read online. You are able to hire a handyman if the total amount of the job, and this includes labor and materials, does not exceed $1,000 and does not require a permit. So really what that means, if you're hiring a contractor, you're hiring someone, and the job is only going to be $200, but it requires a permit, you need to make sure you hire a licensed contractor for that.
Great information, Jeff. Thank you so much. I know you're busy. You have other things to get to. Maybe you're not as busy as you were before the bust in 2008, 2009, but it's still folks who are spending money to remodel still need to use the registrar. And this is one of those instances where prevention certainly exceeds the cost and expense and anguish of cure.
Absolutely.
You want to give us the registrar's website again?
Yes, that is azroc.gov. Lots of good information there.
Super. Thank you, Jeff. We really appreciate it. We will be back with additional discussion. We've got in the bullpen here, the warm-up pen, Kristen Keough with the Attorney General's Office. This is the Buckmaster Show on AM 1030, KVOI, The Voice.
Another business trip? Why don't you just drive instead of fly?
Well, nobody brings me snacks or drinks in my car. Very seldom do I get to watch a first-run movie or take a nap while driving.
No, seriously. It must be much cheaper to drive.
Not really. I checked out TIA's cost comparison calculator. Flying from Tucson isn't just convenient. It can actually save money.
Flying from Tucson International Airport is convenient and cost-effective. Check out our cost comparison calculator at flytucson.com or text the word COMPARE to 51313. Fly Tucson. It's the way to go.
Attending Pima Community College means success for you and your family at less than a quarter the cost of trade schools or four-year universities. Partnering with business leaders, Pima creates programs tailored to help you succeed in today's high-demand jobs and offers two-year associate degrees that transfer to universities nationwide. Whether your goal is a new career or transferring to a four-year college, Pima Community College can help you succeed. Call 206-4500 or visit pima.edu.
Equine Voices Rescue and Sanctuary works to end the senseless abuse of horses and burros so these noble creatures can live free of pain and suffering. Its ranch in Amato is home to dozens of rescued equines who receive special care as they await new, loving homes. Won't you help? Visit equinevoices.org. Equine Voices, a voice for all equines who cannot speak for themselves.
Noble Hops is Tucson's original gastro pub, serving an impressive menu of craft beer and fine fare. Choose from more than 175 beers from around the world, plus wine and a full bar. Enjoy delicious soups, salads, burgers, sandwiches, hearty entrees, and more. Craft beer, fine fare, great service, and stunning views. Noble Hops, perfect for lunch, dinner, happy hour, late night, and any time in between. Open daily at La Cañada and Lambert Lane in Oro Valley.
The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun cover two of Arizona's most desirable communities. The newspapers reach more than 75% of the communities each week, with a combined population of more than 50,000. The Green Valley News also publishes a dozen magazines each year, and both newspapers publish up-to-the-minute local news online at gvnews.com. The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun, it's all right here.
The Regional Transportation Authority is delivering its promises, completing 149 out of 200 intersection improvements, 48 of 80 pedestrian safety crossings, 108 of 200 bus pullouts, and 226 miles of 500 promised bike lanes. Since the 2006 voter approval of the RTA plan, some 650 projects are completed. Better roads, better transit, better choices, a better future. Learn more at rtamobility.com.
Southern Arizona is home to one of the world's most trusted sources of information on medicines. The Credible Meds website is visited each day by over 2,000 people from more than 60 countries. You too can learn how to personalize your medications and take control of your health care. Visit CredibleMeds.org today and join Bill Buckmaster each month as he and Dr. Ray Woosley, founder of Credible Meds, give you practical tips on how to get the most from your medications.
This is Bill Buckmaster. The Buckmaster Show features Arizona newsmakers and more than two dozen Buckmaster Show contributors. Everything from foreign affairs to the arts is on the table and open for discussion and your calls from one end of Southern Arizona to the other. The Buckmaster Show, weekdays noon to 1 on AM 1030 KVOI, The Voice.
And welcome back. Two of Bill's contributors are sitting right here in the studio right now on this All Consumer Day as Bill continues to enjoy a well-deserved vacation in what I'm going to call Luaulandia. You guess where it is, right? I've got Vince Ravaga, who's a former Attorney General, Assistant Attorney General for Consumer Affairs here in the Tucson office, who's riding shotgun on the show today. And also standing by is Kristen Keough, who's with the Arizona Attorney General's office. Really, really effective, critical, crucial organization if you are a consumer in Arizona. Kristen, how are you today?
I'm doing great. Thanks for having me.
Well, thanks for calling in all the way from Phoenix.
Yeah, it's really tough.
It really is. Well, you have an office here in Tucson, the Attorney General's office does, and it's a full-service office. But let me ask you first, from the perspective of a consumer, the Attorney General has so much to do, but the consumer protection portfolio is handed to the AG. What are the services that are offered, essentially, by the Consumer Protection Division?
What we do is we protect hardworking taxpayers by enforcing the Arizona Consumer Fraud Act. So we have people here, a team, ready to take consumer complaints and take information on fraudulent business practices and then reach out to those businesses and try to get them to make things right.
How do you do that? I mean, what's the process? It's an investigative process?
Sometimes it does get to that point. The first step, and what we really need people to do if they need help from our office, is receiving that complaint. We need consumers to go to our website or call us. The Tucson number is 520-628-6504, and the website is azag.gov. You can just click on the consumer tab. We need people to file those consumer complaints so that we can get our information and take any photos, documents, any proof, and present that to the business. And oftentimes that's enough to get the business to comply and make things right. But at this point, we're just communicating with them, and we actually have a team of volunteers who will work with the business to resolve the issue. So what they're trying to do is get a refund for the consumer, or if it's an appliance shop that sold a defective washer or dryer, maybe we'll try to get them to come out and do a repair, basically solving the issue before it goes to a courtroom.
Okay. Now, you said you can file online. What is the website again?
It's azag.gov. And from there, you'll see a consumer section, and that'll prompt you to file a complaint, and you just fill out a form, and that goes to our specialists in consumer protection and advocacy, and they will take that complaint and look at it and get back to you.
I noticed you use the word advocacy. Does the Attorney General actually work as an advocate for an aggrieved consumer?
Certainly. We don't work the way that a private lawyer does, but what we're doing is enforcing the Arizona Consumer Fraud Act. So we are fighting on behalf of the state. If someone is a business owner is violating the Arizona Consumer Fraud Act, it's in all of our best interest to reach out to them and enforce the Arizona Consumer Fraud Act and get them to comply so that they will stop their fraudulent business practices.
How the Arizona Consumer Fraud Act, how broad is it? How narrow is it? As a consumer, how am I covered and protected by the Arizona Consumer Fraud Act?
Well, it is pretty broad, but in a way that can be beneficial to us as a consumer. So basically, it says that if a business is practicing unfair and deceptive, unfair and deceptive. If we're seeing those types of practices, that is considered violating the Arizona Consumer Fraud Act. So it's really open to discussion because you could really argue what's unfair, what's deceptive, and there's a lot of buyer beware stuff that goes into that too. But again, our role here is to protect the most vulnerable members of our society. So there's a lot of the stuff where, you know, an outsider could look at it and say, well, you should have known better. Well,
yeah.
That doesn't matter. If a business owner is trying to take advantage of someone, preying on the most vulnerable members of our society by deceiving them and doing something that is deemed unfair, we can stop them.
When you say most vulnerable members, that sort of used to be a code word for the elderly. Is there still an elder task force at the AG's office that specializes and sort of carves out that as an additional oomph, if you will, in consumer protection?
Yes, there is. And unfortunately, we see this so often. And in fact, a huge part of the problem is that senior citizens don't report. They don't go file those complaints. In fact, there's an AARP study that just came out that found that 75% of 67 victims aged 55 and older did not report fraud. And that's typically because they're embarrassed about it, or they're worried that if they tell their children, they'll get their financial responsibilities, their independence taken away. So they don't report it necessarily. And I can tell you, just last week, Tom, my parents called me. My mom called me crying, saying that an IRS agent just called and said that they're going to send a federal marshal to arrest my dad because they owed the IRS $1,900. My parents were terrified. This is a scam that we hear about all the time. And it is so sad and so scary. And it terrifies people, especially the older members of our community. And we see the IRS scam on the elderly all the time. But the important thing to remember is that the IRS is not going to call you. And they're certainly not going to threaten you like that. They'll send a letter.
Yeah,
but
the IRS does not call, not use telephones. Yeah.
But these phone calls to the elderly, it's the same things that we've been seeing for a long time are still happening, like the foreign lottery scams. Oh, you're going to be a millionaire, but first you need to send me a couple $1,000s through a wire transfer or a Green Dot card.
Right.
And
hey, Kristen, this is a call-in show, and we've got a call-in from Roger. Roger, you're on the line. Do you have a question for Kristen?
Yeah, well, my question is as a man in business myself, if I see consumer fraud, a lot of times we see it with elderly people, but does that elderly person then have to make the complaint, or are we able to report it when we see it taking place?
We'll take it from you, certainly. We really appreciate the tip, but it helps us if we can get it straight from the consumer. But I definitely understand your concern. In fact, I get calls from people all the time who are hesitant to file a consumer complaint for whatever reason. So we certainly want to know about it, but it really helps us if we can get it straight from the consumer. If we can get any sort of receipt or contract or photo evidence, the more of that we can get directly from the victim, the more helpful it is.
Thanks, Roger. Great question. Let me switch gears, Kristen, and ask you about another thing that the Attorney General does. There was a story last week or earlier this week about a $152 million settlement against a phone company that was charged with cramming or adding unwanted charges onto people's bills. And the Arizona AG was a participant in that. Apparently a gang of AGs gets together and they decide to sue somebody. And there was a settlement, $152 million. Is any of that going to show up in the wallets? Or what are the prospects of that showing up in the wallets of Arizona citizens or residents who may have been victimized by that scam?
Well, first, I want to make us sound even better by saying it was $158 million.
All right.
Sorry to correct you. But yes, that will show up in the wallets because $120 million of that, and that's nationally, will be in restitution. So I want to break this down for you. $450,000 of it in Arizona is just for fees.
Okay. You got to be paid.
Yeah, that's for us.
And that's fair.
What we're seeing beyond that is, so we had approximately $600,000, 600,000 victims here between Verizon and Sprint. And all those people are eligible for restitution. So that $120 million nationally can go straight into the pockets of all the people who are victims of this.
So in
the 600,000 approximately in Arizona.
In the couple of minutes that we have left before we have to go to news and break, what would be the process then in Arizona for me to apply for, assuming I qualify, for me to apply for my cut of that?
So there are websites set up on both the Verizon and Sprint websites for people who are eligible for restitution. So it's SprintRefundPSMS.com for those Sprint customers, and then CFPBSettlementVerizon.com for the Verizon customers.
For those folks who didn't have a pencil handy to get that, you want to repeat those. And also, it's available on your website,
Google
too.
Sprint Restitution, Google Verizon Restitution, or just go to AZAG.gov. We have the press release posted on our website with those links included.
Okay. So, any other, in the few minutes, what are the top 10 things that the AG is wrestling with in consumer affairs, consumer protection now? And we've got about a minute before you have to go.
Well, the phone scams are huge, and they're heartbreaking as well. And that includes the IRS scam, the grandchild scam, the foreign lottery scam.
The grandchild scam is, hi, Grandpa, I'm in jail in Canada and I don't have any money.
Right.
Yeah, right.
Exactly. It's been going on forever, and apparently it's still working, which is just heartbreaking. Used motor vehicle sales is huge. We need to know about these complaints so that we can stop these people, because over and over again, it's people changing the name of the company and, you know, doing these just deceptive practices. Again, it's these people who are just doing whatever they can to take advantage of the consumer. So we want to hear about those complaints. Telemarketing, of course, is huge. Those high-pressure sales tactics over the phone. And, of course, we want to remind people to sign up for the Do Not Call registry. You can do that for your cell phone even. I know I'm starting to get those cell phone telemarketing calls, and it's time to sign up for the Do Not Call registry.
Well, Kristen Kehoe, thanks so much for representing the Attorney General's office with us. The Attorney General's office website, azag.org, and we'll be back.
AZAG.gov.
Sure. I beg your pardon. Thank you.
Thank you.
All right. Good talking to you.
Thanks.
Hi, I'm Dr. Kevin Lehman on behalf of Five Star Termite and Pest Control. You know, the other day I went out in my garage and I saw a cockroach on his back. Just the way I like to view a cockroach. And just before he expired, he looked up at me and said, "The five-star technician got me." Adios, cucaracha.
We're five-star pest control. We know what bugs you.
Another business trip? Why don't you just drive instead of fly?
Well, nobody brings me snacks or drinks in my car. Very seldom do I get to watch a first-run movie or take a nap while driving.
No, seriously. It must be much cheaper to drive.
Not really. I checked out TIA's cost comparison calculator. Flying from Tucson isn't just convenient. It can actually save money.
Flying from Tucson International Airport is convenient and cost-effective. Check out our cost comparison calculator at flytucson.com or text the word COMPARE to 51313. Fly Tucson. It's the way to go.
Hi, this is Sean McCluskey, co-owner and designated broker for Rincon Ventures. If you're a rental owner by choice or by accident, and you're looking to hire or change property management companies, consider Rincon Ventures. We employ an aggressive web-based advertising strategy to market your rental. We thoroughly screen prospective tenants and conduct routine property inspections. Our online system gives tenants the ability to pay rent and file maintenance requests instantly over the web. Our owners can use the same system to instantly check on their properties. Call Rincon Ventures at 881-2258 or visit us on the web at rvprop.com.
Attending Pima Community College means success for you and your family at less than a quarter the cost of trade schools or four-year universities. Partnering with business leaders, Pima creates programs tailored to help you succeed in today's high-demand jobs and offers two-year associate degrees that transfer to universities nationwide. Whether your goal is a new career or transferring to a four-year college, Pima Community College can help you succeed. Call 206-4500 or visit pima.edu. The Regional Transportation Authority has completed more than 650 projects to date, including pedestrian safety crossings, intersection safety improvements, and bus pullouts, plus new sidewalks and bike lanes. The Regional Transportation Authority also funds new signal technology to keep people and goods moving. We're improving safety and regional mobility for you. Better roads, better transit, better choices, a better future. Learn more at rtamobility.com. As a small business owner, I know the importance of a certified public accountant you can trust.
That's why I recommend my CPA, Michael C. Flowers of Flowers, Rieger & Associates, proud sponsors of the Buckmaster Show. Located at 2919 East Broadway and on the web at flowersrieger.com, or follow the live link on buckmastershow.com.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. Have your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local, independent, nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and Pima politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
On this all-consumer segment, all-consumer show, not just a segment. In fact, the whole hour is devoted to consumer affairs. I'm Tom Collier. I'm guest hosting while Bill Buckmaster is on a well-deserved vacation in Hawaii. Let's see, last event. And with me is Vince Robago, who is an attorney in private practice who specializes in consumer affairs. He's also in his pedigree an assistant attorney general, former assistant attorney general for consumer affairs. Bill is in Hawaii this year. Last time I saw his vacation pictures, he was in the Azores, and before that, in the Canary Islands. You know, island paradises. Is there a pattern here?
There is a big pattern with Bill, and I know he's listening to us right now, getting a suntan with his wonderful wife, listening to this show.
He's keeping track of us, which means I have to read that this portion of the Buckmaster Show is presented by Silver City and Grant County, New Mexico, just 3 hours east of Tucson. You got plans for the... Memorial Day weekend?
It's a great place to visit.
It is a wonderful place. And the 20th annual Silver City Blues and Bikes Festival will be going on, featuring legendary blues master Taj Mahal. There's a complete listing of all the things you can do and see and go and stay and eat and drink at Silver City at southwestnewmexico.org. You could stay, for example, in the Bear Mountain Lodge, great place. Or the Georgetown Cabins are a couple of the places you could stay. Once again, that's in Silver City, Grant County, New Mexico, just 3 hours east of Tucson. And all the information's available at southwestnewmexico.org.
That's great. It sounds like you can also go see the Taj Mahal play.
Absolutely.
In New Mexico.
Absolutely.
Music.
It's a great way to spend the Memorial Day weekend. I, however, am remembering my first Memorial Day in Tucson when it hit 113 degrees. So I'm going to hit the air conditioner, you know, just stay inside. This is, as I said, devoted completely to consumer affairs, and we have call-in available. The number is 520-790-2040, and we've got, I don't know what, between the two of us, maybe 50 years of consumer advisory experience. So.
That's right, and we're both so young. It's just amazing.
He says. Anyway, we have Alice on the phone. Alice, welcome.
Hi.
To the Buckmaster Show. How can
Thank
we help you?
Well, I have an interesting situation where I'm not sure if it's really consumer related, but I moved out of an apartment recently, and which I've done a zillion times before, cleaned it up as best I could, and then waited for my deposit. And instead of getting any deposit, I got a list of itemized things that they said I was responsible for, including light bulbs and switch plates. And all sorts of things. And instead of getting a deposit back, they not only were withholding it, but they were charging me like $70 in addition. So it was like $700 that they said was necessary to make my apartment livable again. And I was a good tenant. and I was really angry because I expect them to take some money out for cleaning. But
did you have a deposit?
I had a deposit, yes.
How much was it?
It was $625.
Okay. Well, I think I'm not practicing law without a license here, but the Arizona Residential Landlord Tenant Act would be the area that applies.
Yes, and I know that. And according to the Landlord Tenant Act, I just have to – I lived there 3 years, and they said you can't charge for normal wear and tear. And I actually had a lawyer friend send a letter – to the landlord, which sometimes shakes them up and say, oh, okay. But even without the letter, they said, no, we don't care. she owes us money and we're withholding her entire deposit.
Let's talk to our own lawyer friend, Vince.
Well, it sounds like you did the right thing, first of all, by talking to your friend who's a lawyer. There are some rules and on specific rules on how security deposits are to be handled, and they do have to send you an itemized deposit for cleaning, that sort of thing. And so what you need to do is if they're refusing to pay the money, you need to go back to that lawyer or another. And you might have to fight it out in small claims court. If because of what they're telling you is that you owe the money, they might pursue you for that small amount, even though it's, you know, whatever it
right.
is.
And they said they would ruin my credit, you know, report it to the credit bureaus and everything like that.
Sure. And what you want to do probably in all those circumstances is document that. Send them a nice letter back, you know, certified mail saying exactly what they told you, and that way you have a record of that created for whenever you do see your lawyer. And you might have to go to court over things that they're not allowed to charge for. They can't just charge you for replacing things that aren't broken. Like, let's say, you know, the electrical switch plates. If those were fine when you were there and you moved out, that's not something really that's contemplated by a security deposit. It's really
yeah.
for, you know, a cleaning, if there is painting that needs to be done, window screens.
Yeah.
They're general things that are sort of, you know, standard in the industry. And so, but you're following your instincts the right way, going to a lawyer. It may be a small amount. You know, the $70 are trying to charge you, but, you know, they are allowed to keep some for cleaning and so forth,
right.
especially if you've been there for a long time.
Yeah.
But I know from living there and having people who live there, you know, basically they wanted to charge me something like $300 to resurface the floors. We're talking like really bad linoleum tile. And I know for a fact that all they did was mop and wax it.
Yeah.
But they were going to charge me $300 to resurface it. How is that not fraud, that they want to charge me for something that they didn't even do?
Well, if you have an entity that is, in fact, charging you for something you didn't do, even though, generally speaking, you know, the Attorney General's office will, if you have private remedies, oftentimes for amounts like this, they'll say you'll need to get an attorney or see an attorney because there is a law that does give you very specific rights. On the flip side, if a company is trying to cheat you and they're trying to charge you for things they didn't do, that can become an issue of consumer fraud. And so the person we just spoke with from the Attorney General's office, you can certainly always submit a complaint to the Attorney General's office, to the Better Business Bureau, and utilize all those opportunities for free.
Good question, Alice. Let's talk about what you can do to prevent a situation like this to all the folks who are getting ready to move into an apartment or a rental. You've got a phone. You should have. Most people have a phone with a camera on it. Take pictures. Take pictures before you move in. Preserve them so that you've got them. And then you should have an itemized checklist that you move in as you move in. There's a ding on the wall over here. The doorknob is broken or it's scratched or something like that.
Absolutely.
Have the landlord or the landlord's representative also sign off on that checklist as you move in, and then put that checklist in a safe place along with the pictures.
And then on the way out, what you do is you do something exactly similar. After you've done all your cleaning, take a video, take pictures, and then make sure you go through that checklist with them as you are handing over the keys.
Prevention worth a pound of cure here.
It always is. An ounce of prevention is worth a pound of cure. I love to say it. I say it every day.
We've got Charles Heller on the phone. Charles? Thanks for calling the Buckmaster Show.
Hi.
How can we help you?
I was going to agree with you about the documenting, but the other thing you might do is present them with an invoice for your deposit back. So now you have a positive action. Instead of trying to stop their negative action, you can go after them and do document it. If they say that they did repairs they didn't, that's absolutely consumer fraud. And, boy, I wouldn't hesitate to file with the Attorney General's office, and then you can tell them, look, if you stop your fraud and give me my money back, I'll drop my complaint. Now instead of them going after you, you're going after them, and victory is usually to the aggressor in that case.
Good advice, Charles.
Yeah, the invoice is a great idea, Charles. Thanks for that.
Right, because now you've got something positive, and if they don't pay you, you can turn them over for collection. And they threaten you. The other thing is, record every single conversation with somebody like that and archive the recording.
And you can do that in Arizona because we're one of the one-party-has-to-agree states.
That's right. You can record. I tell that to all my clients, particularly those that are dealing, let's say, with bank issues. They don't realize that you can record those calls. As long as the one party knows they're doing it, you can record everything.
13-3005 if you want to know the statute to look it up. But the thing I called about mostly is I wonder what protections are in place for the business when a person files an unscrupulous complaint for a fraud that didn't occur. And I'm as worried about that, not worried, but my concern is great in both directions. I grew up in a household where my father was a consumer fraud enforcement officer. And I have seen people file fraudulent complaints against business just because they were angry or because they didn't like their politics. And I wonder what protections are available to the business owner against unscrupulous complaints. And I'll listen to your answer on the air.
Well, the business owner, I think, has, first of all, their general reputation that is the best defense. When you get a complaint, at least, for example, I can only speak from the Better Business Bureau because that's where I used to work a long time ago. And from the perspective, the Better Business Bureau investigates the complaint. And even though if the final analysis of that complaint is that it is substantiated or unsubstantiated. So, in fact, you've got a whole industry now which has sprung up now with the fact that you can go to Yelp or you've got additional amplification of word of mouth now using – it's now word of keyboard where people can talk about a complaint, and you've got a whole business which has sprung up on reputation protection. But the point is that if the business has genuinely provided good service and it's a bad faith complaint by the consumer, that will come to the fore, I believe, if depending on how the integrity of the investigation process. Vince, you want to weigh in on that?
That's exactly right. There are sometimes, I mean, as with anything, there is something called defamation. And, you know, it usually doesn't reach that level where a business wants to invest serious money in a lawsuit, but sometimes it can be the case where if this is something, for example, a consumer is posting online false or derogatory comments about a business, that kind of stuff can spread like wildfire. And I'm not sure who said it, but, you know, the old saying is, you know, well, I can go halfway across the world before the truth gets out of bed. And so with the internet,
that was Mark Twain.
It may have been. And that's certainly true in today's internet age. And so there are actually companies, like let's say this is a false accusation on one of these Yelp websites or other types of things. There are actually companies you see a growing cottage industry of businesses that will serve other businesses to protect their online reputation. Mm-hmm. So there's that avenue. Certainly there's legal remedies, like let's say if it's actual defamation or if they're interfering with other, contractual interference.
One thing that we would advise against, though, simply because of the backlash that happened, is these companies that had a little line in their, license agreement or the online service agreement, where people just click it, okay, and they don't bother to read it, and it says that company in Minnesota, or no, it was Wisconsin, that said, if you give a negative review on us, we can fine you $3,500, and they did, and it was a kind of a shadowy company anyway, but they ruined one couple's credit with that. So you need to be careful with that kind of stuff.
You do, and as any business owner knows, you also have to be careful how you respond to things, because you can see businesses that just get hammered by how they act sometimes. I mean, obviously the vast majority are not doing this, but you'll see a business owner just act totally inappropriately in response to some sort of an online review, and then that business just gets hammered because, as you know, people focus right on the retaliatory sort of conduct that the business might be accused of as opposed to what may have happened in the first place.
Good point. We've had Robert, who's been very patiently holding on. He wanted to comment on the rental call. Robert? You still there? Robert? Okay, well, I guess Robert's not there. To the issue, though, of those consumer reviews, it's just generally a bad idea because there's such a backlash on your business.
Yes, and the other part of that is the websites themselves are typically, they're not going to be at fault for posting those sorts of things, and there's lots of protections for them legally. So it's oftentimes very difficult. So all you can do is respond, do the right thing that businesses should do, which is if there's a complaint or an issue, resolve the ones that are valid. If there's somebody that's just making up false accusations, typically they don't get too much ground.
And one of the things that I think from both our experiences, this is not one of those things where you have a consumer complaint, if you have a situation where you're genuinely aggrieved, where you can unload the monkey off your back onto the Better Business Bureau's back or the Attorney General's Consumer Protection Division back, and then sit back and have them resolve the problem for you. You have to be active. You have to remain involved. You have to document. You have to give. You have to provide, if you will, the fodder, the real substantial fodder for these assistance agencies to help you.
That's right. You have to document everything. It's good to send letters, send them registered, have build up your file. You know, whether you're the consumer or whether you're the business dealing with somebody maybe that is incorrect about their complaint, it's always good to have a paper trail when you have some sort of a dispute on any sort of legal matter. And so like Tom has always advocated, and I always as well, do your due diligence, then you submit your complaint to the appropriate agencies, whether that's the Attorney General's office or the Federal Fair Trade Commission or the Better Business Bureau. And then, those are all avenues that you can do for free, either online or by paper, and then see where you go from there, and then also go out and see an attorney if you need to.
Yep. You're going to have to remain involved, and we will come back and talk about your consumer involvement after these messages.
Are you planning a party or special event? Contact Arizona Party Rental, the number one party rental company in Southern Arizona. Here's what our customers are saying about us.
Hi, this is Bert Williams with Williams & Associates. We are Arizona's largest promotional products company. Anything you put a logo on, that's us. But this isn't about me. This is about Arizona Party Rental and the team they have that makes things happen. They have everything you would ever need for a party or any event. Tents, chairs, tables, and the expertise to advise you with what you need in a timely manner. When I think of Arizona Party Rental, I think of integrity and I think of community involvement. We've used Arizona Party Rental many times. They are on time, efficient, and are a great value. I love working with Ken and his team at Arizona Party Rental. Ken can stack BBs at a 45 degree angle with gloves on.
Hey, thanks a lot, Bert. Quality products, exceptional selection, and outstanding service. That's Arizona Party Rental. Visit us online at arizonapartyrental.net.
Ready to do some antiquing? If you love a special one-of-a-kind object like I do, I strongly suggest Adobe House Antiques, specializing in early 20th century European and American art, and they have the best selection in town of antique light fixtures. Adobe House Antiques in the Jostler Design Building at 2700 North Campbell, 325-9439, and on the web at adobehouseantiques.com.
The Southern Arizona News Examiner, reporting the stories missed by the mainstream media. Our sources bring you regional, national, and international news from a different perspective. Opinion from Emil Franzi, Phil Richardson, and other top national columnists. Plus, Eric Peters with auto reviews, Bob Garber on movies, Rebecca Guthrie on books, a section on Western heritage, and sports coverage, too. It's a cross-section of information found nowhere else. SOAZNewsX.com, published Mondays and Thursdays. Subscriptions are free at SOAZNewsX.com.
Vero Mori is Tucson's only certified authentic Neapolitan wood-fired pizza, where every flavorful pizza, pasta, panini, and salad is homemade using the finest local and imported ingredients. And now at Vero Amore's lovely new location within the remodeled Plaza Palomino at Swan and Fort Lowell, Vero Amore is proud to announce an expanded menu and bar offerings with 16 microbrews on tap and 14 keg wines, along with two separate cooler rooms to keep the beverages at just the right temperature. Vero Amore, Plaza Palomino, and on Dove Mountain Boulevard in Marana, plus a full catering menu and mobile pizza truck for parties and events. Vero Amore on the web at veroamore.com.
Hi, wouldn't you like a voice like mine talking about your business? Saying things like, thank you for calling,
or press 1 for hours and directions. Well, it can. Cox Business offers Voice Manager, allowing you to get a professional voice to record your voicemail greeting. And with my voice, you'll need to warn whoever manages your lead gen data because your customer base is about to expand. If you don't like my voice...
There's always mine.
Thank you for calling. All our customers are important to us.
How do you like that?
I think mine might be more appropriate.
You don't know that.
I can do fancy accents.
As good as this.
Make a great impression before you answer the phone. Cox Business Internet and Voice Manager is only $99 per month. Plus, get your first month free. Bundle and save today. Visit coxbusiness.com. Ends 8/30/15. Includes Cox Business Internet 10 and Voice Manager Essential. Excludes taxes and fees. Visit coxbusiness.com for details. Actual speeds vary. Other restrictions apply.
We're back on the Buckmaster Show for this Thursday, May 14th, an all-consumer event while Bill is on a well-deserved vacation on AM 1030 KVOI The Voice. I'm Tom Collier, who is guest hosting. I'm Bill's contributing editor for Consumer Affairs. Riding shotgun with me is Vince Robago, who is an attorney in private practice specializing in consumer affairs and consumer issues, former attorney general, assistant attorney general. Sorry, I've got you promoted there.
That's all right. I'll take the pay upgrade.
for consumer affairs. Let's talk about one of the bear traps that's hidden in the bushes, which is, I think, going to pop up and bite a lot of people, and that is student debt. A recent issue about these for-profit colleges that have gone belly up, and there's an attempt to try to get some kind of relief for the students who had federal loans that were paid into these colleges that no longer exist, that gave them essentially worthless training. Part of the problem, it seems to me, is that we had a contract which said, you borrow money, you go to school. After you get out of school, you'll have a good job to help pay that back. That part of the equation has not occurred, or at least has gone away in this economy. So what are we going to do?
Well, that's right, Tom. And for some schools and some programs, for some of these for-profit colleges, there never really was a real career path. And so there have been fraud actions by some attorneys general in different states going after schools for sort of pumping up fake job numbers, things like that. So because then students are borrowing money thinking they're going to spend $10,000, $20,000, $30,000 of debt, get that on the hook, and then they go out into the workforce and those jobs really aren't there.
Well, I had to laugh because one of my acquaintances said recently, he said, you know, 10 years ago, all the checkers at the grocery store had their degrees in anthropology and now they seem to switch to sociology. So, you know, well, training for what it is that you're actually going to do for a living.
Correct. And the problem is oftentimes, you know, people are wanting to make a better life for themselves, you know, whatever age they're at. And so they go to take out these student loans, and there may not be a real job at the end of the day. There may not be a real career path, but they're still on the hook for that debt. And so what happens here is these schools, let's say these ones that have gone under, there's no, you know, they're not going to get any, finish their degrees even, their certificate programs, whatever it is that those schools were offering. And it's a big problem. As you know, today, I believe the Consumer Protection Finance Bureau, I believe it's the name of the federal agency, they're holding live field hearings on student debt and how big of a problem this is and some of the potentially deceptive practices that can occur out there.
Do you know of any at the wallet level action that somebody who's got a situation like this where they owe debt can take, or, you know, right now, is it pretty much in the realm of write a petition to your congressperson or something?
It really does depend. I know a number of years ago that, you know, I have, when I was with the AG's office, we actually went after a for-profit institution for deceiving students about the program that they were getting them into. And so they were advertising criminal justice careers. And the thing is, though, the students that they were accepting into the program, many of them were not qualified ever to become going to the criminal justice field. They either had criminal records, they were physically incapacitated, disabled, where they would never be able to get a job as a police officer or a probation officer, correctional officer, some of the jobs that were being advertised as career paths.
We have to have a clean record to
correct.
Be able to work
and, that, and yeah. So, you know, it was fortunate we were able to intervene and file a lawsuit and reach a settlement, and all of these student loans got wiped out and paid back. For the average person that doesn't have a big government action like that that's helping them, you have to really make sure on the front end, first of all, is this is a big decision to go into debt. Is there really a job career waiting for you? And then if you do take a loan, where is that loan coming from? Is it a guaranteed student loan? or is it a private student loan? Very different.
What is the difference?
Well, the difference is, first of all, for the government, in 1991, for example, Congress got rid of the statute of limitations to pursue anybody for a federally guaranteed student loan. So, for example, Tom, if you had taken out a loan back when you were 20 and for some reason just hadn't paid it, today, you know, the government, federal government, could come after you and sue you for that student loan some, you know, 20, 30, I don't know how many years ago you went to college.
Let's just say decades later.
Decades later, they could come after you. And whereas that law does not directly apply, that change in the law doesn't directly apply to private student loans.
Okay.
And so there's one difference there where you would have a statute of limitations, arguably, after so many years for a private loan for them to collect upon you, which is typically, you know, if it's just a straight loan, it's a breach of contract. Let's say you didn't pay your loan because you couldn't afford to, there's no job. It would be typically a six-year statute of limitations, arguably. Not so for the federal government. They have no statute of limitations.
And what about the issue of discharge in bankruptcy, though?
It is very difficult. They are presumptively non-dischargeable. And so, in other words, you cannot discharge them ordinarily. You can, in a bankruptcy case, if you are able to, try to file a lawsuit inside of a bankruptcy case called an adversary proceeding, but that's only when there is undue hardship. In other words, you have to be able to financially show, number one, that you just cannot make these payments and that there's no foreseeable likelihood of you being able to make those payments. And also, oftentimes, the courts, there are certain standards you have to show that you did try to make the payments that you could make. It's basically an adversarial lawsuit where you have to try to wipe out some of that debt.
Undue hardship. What would an example of really undue hardship be? Because it's easy to claim.
Disability, for example. Okay. You're no longer able to work. Perhaps you got this debt late in life, and now you're, you know, 69 years old, and maybe nobody's hiring you because they want to hire.
That's age else. Discrimination.
It happens. Unfortunately, it does happen. And so there's a wide variety of things where you can show, or there's just no, you know, there's no value to whatever you got. But it is a battle. It is a battle to do that because they are presumptively non-dischargeable.
Well, thanks to Vince Robigo for joining us on this all-consumer show for the Buckmaster Show, and to Jeff Wills with the Arizona Registrar of Contractors, and to Kristen Keough with the Attorney General's Office talking about consumer protection. I'm Tom Collier. I was guest hosting while Bill was in Luau Land having a wonderful time. Join us tomorrow.
Intelligent Talk 24/7, AM 1030, KVOI, Cortero, Tucson. On the web at KVOI.com.